CCFM 107.5.
Welcome to the Story of Hope segment, and thank you, John Bogner, for being willing to do this. Thank you so much, John.
Absolute pleasure. When you asked me so many days and weeks ago if I wouldn't mind doing the story.
Yesterday
afternoon. No, but it really is a pleasure. I love sharing my testimony. And even though maybe I don't have a testimony that's extreme as some people, you know, maybe my valleys haven't been as deep and as dark as others, you know, God works through each and every one of us. So someone's got a story out there similar to mine, and I hope that I can speak to that.
Amen. And that's what the whole purpose is of Story of Hope. So tell us about your life, bro.
Yeah. So, listen, the temptation when listening to my story, to my testimony, is to think that, you know what, God loves me more than he loves everybody else. And, you know, obviously that is true.
Not.
You know, I'm at the top of the list, and then there was David, and then, no, I'm joking, absolutely joking. But I have been incredibly blessed with favor in my career. In the workplace, it's been... Looking back, it's been mind-blowing, to be honest. So I was a youth pastor for 5 years. And then from there, I think I've had 4 or 5 different jobs. And each of them a different career, different industry.
Yeah.
So I've been blessed with a variety. But more than that is... Each job that I've been in, I've been promoted really, really quickly.
Wow.
So I worked at a digital agency about 4 or 5 years ago, the first digital marketing agency I'd ever worked at. Started as a junior copywriter and a junior web developer. And then within a year and a half, I was the general manager. I was running the place.
That is so cool.
And that story runs throughout all of my work experiences is that God has given me favor with my employers to the point where they trust me to run their businesses for them. And that's happened each and every time. So that has been an amazing blessing. In each situation, I really didn't have the experience or the expertise or anything to justify that position. So I can only attribute it to God. So that's been the amazing thing. But of course, there has been a downside to that as well. And not from God, but it's been... it's really been a tell on my own personality and my own, I suppose, emotional immaturity, is that each time I've been in these positions of leadership where I've been promoted, I've always thought to myself, no, then I must be the guy that's got it all together. That's why they promoted me. That's why I'm running the business. That's why I'm running this ministry. It's because I've got it all together. So that's the mask that I had to wear all the time. And also, it's not within me to go to a day job, a 9 to 5, clock in, clock out, and say, cool, work's done. I've never been able to see anything as just a job. For me, it's always been, I suppose, a call. I've always invested heavily emotionally into everything that I'm responsible for. So be it a church ministry, be it at work, I've always invested everything into it. And that has come at an expense. It came at a price. And that price was in 2012, while still a youth pastor, I experienced burnout. Now, I didn't know that I was experiencing burnout, so it developed into severe anxiety, which then in turn developed into a pretty bad depression. And the reason that I didn't know what was potting was because I just assumed I'm just being silly. I've set these high standards and these high expectations for myself. I've lived up to these expectations and these standards. Everybody now expects me to live up to these. So I've just got to push this aside, ignore it, and just press on, you know, suck it up and press on. That was always kind of my life's motto, suck it up and do the best you can with what you've got. And even though that's a great motto to have, it was my downfall eventually. So I experienced the burnout. I didn't seek any help. I didn't know what was going on within me. I didn't have the self-insight, the self-awareness, the emotional intelligence, really, to figure out what was going on within me. So it developed and it developed and it developed. And it was like a heavy, heavy backpack that I carried into every job from there onwards. And it just got heavier and heavier as my responsibilities grew and grew and grew. And I never, ever sought any help, nothing, until eventually it all It all hit the ceiling and overboiled and exploded. And I had a terrible bout of depression about 3 years ago. I was off work for 2 weeks because I just couldn't get out of bed. And I had recently been appointed the general manager of the digital agency that I was working at. And I didn't tell anybody. I told the CEO at the time, I owed it to her, and obviously my wife knew, but I didn't tell anybody else because of pride. It would affect my pride. And again, I didn't go and seek help because I thought, no. I can't have depression. I can't have anxiety. That's nonsense. You know, I'm bigger than that. I'm better than that. I'm stronger than that. I'm just going to suck it up and I'm going to move on. And that's what I did. And it didn't get better. It didn't get better. It got worse. It got worse. It got worse until it got to a point where the anxiety specifically was starting to adjust my personality. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to see anybody. I'd go to work and then I want to go straight home, and I would cancel appointments at the last minute, cancel coffees with friends, because I was just in a place where I wanted to lock myself up. There were a number of times when I would be driving along the N1 on my way to a client and thinking to myself, wow, it would be really cool if my car flipped right now, or if I lost control and it smashed into a barrier. That would be amazing because, hey, maybe I would be in a coma for a couple of weeks and I'd be able to escape and get some rest. Or, hey, worst case scenarios, I would die. And, hey, heaven sounds pretty good around about now. And what frustrated me the most about that was, if someone on the outside was looking in, there was no reason for me to be experiencing that. There was no reason for me to have this anxiety, to have this depression, but I did. And that's what frustrated me the most. And I'd never dealt with it. I just try to push it aside, you know, and then towards the end of 2017, my wife and some close friends, including my pastors at View Church Milton, Jason, Sue, they're amazing. They encouraged me to go and see a psychologist. And I went and I saw a psychologist, and he wrote it down on a piece of paper and said, listen, John, this is the fact. You are struggling with clinical depression. And the cause of it is your anxiety, because you don't know how to deal with it because you just want to push it aside. You want to ignore it. And you are now an anxious person, and you've got to accept that. And he said, things in your life have got to change. And that was the start of a journey that I went on last year specifically. And of course, shame, my wife had to drag her along with me as well. I was going through all this nonsense. She was going through her own nonsense, but she was with me every step of the way, which was absolutely amazing. And one of the things that I needed to change that my psychologist suggested was I needed to get out of the job that I was in. And only much later, about a year and a bit later, did I realize how I'm made up, personality-wise, skill-wise, that I was completely in the wrong line of work. I was taking on far more than I should ever have taken on, and investing far too heavily emotionally in what I was doing. Because if I'm in an environment where something's broken, I want to fix it. I want to help people. But that gets taken advantage of if you don't draw the line yourself. And that's what I was so bad at. And he helped me to see that. My wife helped me out to understand that. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to quit my job. And I prayed about it. And it just never felt right. But everybody around me was encouraging me to do that. So I thought, okay, I'm not hearing from God. I'm going to quit my job. So I quit my job and I didn't feel any better. I was now unemployed, I had no money, I didn't feel any better. I was more anxious because now how am I going to put food on the table? Just God provided miraculously. I got a notification on LinkedIn. Another agency approached me and said, hey, come work here. We need somebody in our senior management position. We're trying to grow it. Come and work here. I was hesitant, but I had no option. And at that point, I took the job, and it was much of the same. I was back to where I was previously, and I had the opportunity to go out to the UK in the middle of that to attend an amazing conference, church conference. And there people prayed for me that I'd be healed of the depression, of the anxiety. Get back from the UK, very next day, the worst bout of depression and anxiety I'd ever had in my entire life. It got to a point where I would blare worship music in the car, hoping that just focusing on God, focusing my eyes on God, would somehow heal me, would make me feel better. But I got to the point where I didn't believe what I was listening to on those CDs, on those tracks. I would scoff and would sing about, you know, that the artists would sing about God's love and God's provision and God's grace and come to him, all who are weary and need rest. And I would scoff, I would laugh, I'd go, that's not true. That's just not true. I'd read the scripture and I'd go, that's just not true. And eventually I got to a place where I was desperate and I cried out to God and I said, Lord, I just need an opportunity to heal. I need to be able to restart, reset myself. And in that moment, God answered. And how it actually happened is I was in my car waiting for the traffic to subside and clear up, working in Woodstock at that time and having to head back out to the northern suburbs. So I was just waiting in the car, waiting for the traffic. And I was just sitting in the car, quiet, silence, just trying to focus my thoughts, trying to keep myself together. And I just cried out to God and I said, Lord, I need a break. I need rest. I just need something else. You know, you said that your yoke is your easy and your burden light. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Show me that is true. And in that moment, I felt like God was saying, okay, I'm a good father. I'm not going to give you a snake or a rock if you ask for bread. If you want a rest, resign from your job. And I was like, but I've got nowhere to go. I can't resign again from a job and have nowhere to go. And in that moment, the story of Gideon just popped into my brain. The story of Gideon just popped into my brain. And you know how Gideon asked for a sign twice. So I thought, oh gosh, how am I going to ask now the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, how am I going to ask him for a sign? So I felt very foolish and very embarrassed. But I mean, you know, the Bible does say, you know, you can ask God. So I asked God for a sign, and I'd been in contact with another guy who I built a friendship with, and we were chatting about maybe me joining him as a media agency, entertainment media, YouTube, digital entertainment, and I was really excited to join in and do that. And but I hadn't heard from him for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So I said, Lord, this is the sign that I want. Forgive me for asking for a sign, but this is the sign that I want. I want an email from this guy. And if I get an email, positive or negative, it doesn't matter. If I get an email from this guy, I will take that as a sign to resign from my job. Turned on the car, got home, parked in the driveway, looked at my phone. There was an email from him. Aww. And Gmail has a timestamp. And on that timestamp, it said, you received this email about 45, 46 minutes ago. And I did the math in my brain. And that was exactly when I was crying out to God in my car. In that moment. So 2 days later, I resigned from my job. And since then, I've been on an extraordinary journey of not just breaking down misperceptions of who God is and trying to relate to God as my father, probably for the first time. I've always taken for granted God is a father, but that's not how I saw him. And also God has helped me to learn about myself. And has anxiety gone away? No, it hasn't. Has the depression gone away? Yes, currently I haven't had a panic attack. I haven't suffered from any dark thoughts or anything like that for a while. And it really is just been a blessing because I've had the space to work through all of this. And in and amongst that, I've had a fresh call from God. I think God's been saying to me, listen, this is what I want you to do. So I've been in the process of starting my own business and potentially have a new client coming up. It hasn't been easy. There's been a lot of sacrifices. We had to maybe put off having a baby. We'd been trying for about a year. We're like, maybe we shouldn't. Anyway, my wife still felt pregnant. So we were That's expecting good. A child in December. But we've had days where the electricity's gone off, where we've had to rely on people to bring us food. My parents have been amazing in that. You know, we didn't have enough money for the debit orders this month, and people have been helping us out for that. So there's been a lot of sacrifice, but in all of that, I've been learning new aspects of God's character. And so even though I'd never want to relive this valley, I'm incredibly grateful for this valley because I've learned so much about God and so much about myself.
Sure. Wow, John. Blown away is not even going to do it justice. Wow, wow, wow. I know that there are people listening that do struggle with depression and anxiety. Can I ask you just to do a short prayer for them?
Yeah. Father, we know that you are the creator of us. We know that you've pieced us together, woven us together. You know what makes us laugh, what makes us cry. You know what makes us tick and what makes us feel anxious. And so we know there is no one better out there to speak into our conditions, into our situations. And so I pray for your healing on every single person that suffers from anxiety, from a depression. I pray that you would help them to take those thoughts captive and not allow the devil to sow seeds of doubt and fear, but that they would hand each and every one of those thoughts over to you, Lord, so that you can shine your light on them, so that they'd be able to see that they're lies. They're dirty, filthy lies, Lord, and that's not the life that you have planned for us. I also pray for those who, like me, struggle to share about their struggles with depression and anxiety because of pride. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see that you have placed people in their life for a reason. That people love them and care about them and want to be able to support them. And so I pray that you would help melt that pride down and that they would look to those people, that they would share, that they would seek the help that they need to seek. I'm so grateful for my psychologist. I'm so grateful for my friends that encouraged me to get onto medication. And even though I still trust you, Lord, for complete and full healing, I'm grateful for that medication, Lord. So I pray that anybody out there who's seeking help would find those with wisdom to help them seek the correct professional help that they need, Lord.
Amen.
CCFM 107.5.